pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, I pray. Amen. I came across a singer this week. I quite like music. I came across this guy. Check out his name. Hawk Nelson. Great name, Hawk Nelson. And he wrote a song. I would have played it to you, but it was really rubbish, so I thought I would spare your ears that. These are some of the lyrics from his song. He says, "They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal, made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I'd never been, and they've dragged me back down to where I began. Words can build you up. Words can break you down. They set a fire in your heart, or they can put it out." Now, I know we've all been on the receiving end of those kind of words, words that build you up, words that tear you down. We've spoken those words to each other, about each other, to ourselves, and about ourselves. And we know our words have the power, don't they? They have the power to make people laugh, or they have the power to make people cry. They have the power to bring life or to bring death, to build up or to tear down, to encourage or to scar. Tim kicked off last week our new series about living in the world, how we, as followers of Jesus, should be living our lives. And today we're going to be looking at the tongue. Hopefully you saw that earlier on from not Claire's massive tongue, but from that guy's massive tongue. So we're not literally going to be staring at our tongues. I'm not going to get you to put your tongue out at any point. That would be slightly weird. But we're going to look at the power of our words, the power that they have, what they reveal about our hearts, and how, as followers of Jesus, we should be using our words. So we're going to be looking at James, just to set a bit of context. James wrote the book of James, really original name, to Jewish Christians. And he was saying, guys, this is how you put your faith into action. And that's as relevant to us today as it was to the guys back then. That our belief in God should have a real impact upon our day-to-day lives. Every area of our lives, including our words. Sat's going to come and read James chapter 3 to us. Not the whole chapter.
James chapter 3, can read up to verse 12. Tame the tongue. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings. But no one has tamed the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. At the same time, come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Cheers, Sat. Okay, so James kicks off in verse 1 and he addresses teachers. He addresses people who are speaking the word of God, people like me, people like the preaching team, people like the guys that are up in Sunday school teaching the Bible to kids. And he says, you guys, you're going to be judged more strictly. Now, I don't think those words have ever had an effect in the way that they've had this week, for me personally. Now, you often hear when people are speaking from the front, they say the passage they've been talking about has really challenged them in the week leading up to them speaking. And that's often the case. But, man, oh man, flip my neck. This week, it got to about Friday, and I thought, I don't know if I can actually come and share this word, because my heart and my lips this week, man, phew, they've not been pleasing to God, to say the least. And I thought, if I was to stand here and speak what I'm going to speak and share what God's put on my heart, I'd be a hypocrite. But you know what? God's good. That's not the end of the story. I'll come back to that. Okay, verse 2. We all stumble. James moves from saying this is about teachers to actually this is about us all. We all stumble in many ways. The thing that causes you to stumble might not cause me to stumble, but there's a common thread throughout, and that's our words. Our words. So what does James say about our words, okay? I love this picture. Just in case you can't work out what it is, it took me a while and I Googled it myself. That's a horse's mouth with some rusty old teeth. And you'll see in the middle, by the bridle, the bit that goes in the middle of the mouth is actually called a bit, surprisingly enough. James compares our words to the bit that goes in the horse's mouth. Now, if you're like me and you don't get out of East London a lot, you don't see wildlife, you don't see animals or grass, just to say, if you go on a horse, you seriously need one of these things, man. Otherwise, you're going to die. So when I went to Wales with my best mate, she is very good at riding horses. I'd never been on one in my life. I think I'd seen them on a farm maybe once or twice. I was about 25. And we went horse riding. And she just shot off. I don't know whether it was a canter or a gallop. All I know is it was fast, okay? And my horse is behind, like, plodding along. She's like, Jen, kick your legs, kick your legs. Man, I so wish I didn't listen to her. Because this horse just started racing, and there's me, like, going along, being thrown up and down, like, ah! And then she's like, pull the reins, Jen, pull the reins. And it's amazing. You tug hold of the reins, the horse slows down. You pull the rein to the left, the horse moves to the left. You pull it to the right, the horse moves right. James says, our tongues are like this. What else are they like? They're like boats. So hopefully, if I'm right, I did talk to Callum about this. That's the rudder, is it? Yeah, okay. I don't do boats either. Okay, that rudder in relation to the boat is quite small. But when you're on a boat and you've got oncoming traffic, do you get oncoming traffic on the water? You do, thank you, Callum. So when you've got oncoming traffic and your boat's heading towards it, you'll be glad you've got that rudder to steer you away. James says this, a bit and a rudder, they're good things. They're good things. If you're in control of them, you're in control of the whole thing. You're in control of the boat, you're in control of the horse. James says, if we're in control of our tongues, we're in control of our actions. See, our words have an effect in a real and in a powerful way. And do you know what? The most controlled characters, the most controlled people I've ever seen are the ones who are able to control their tongues. I work with young people. Some of them are a delight. Yeah. So often, you get a young person walk through the doors and they are raging. They're like, Jen, you will never believe what that boy did to me. When I see him, I'm going to smack him round the face. And the more they say it, the angrier they become. The angrier they become, the more they say it. When I see him, I'm going to smack him. I'm not joking. I don't care what you're saying, Jen. When I see him, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit him hard. It goes on, it goes on, it goes on. The boy walks through the door. Bosh. He gets it right round the chops. The words that we speak control our actions. In verse 2, James links our words to our behaviour. Why? Because our words are more than the words that come out of our mouths. We think with words. We write angry emails with words. We plot revenge with words. Words control us. What else does James say? He goes on. I do love this passage and the way he kind of uses different images. He goes on to talk about our words being like fire. So verses 6, if you look at that. This is a picture that's taken from Australia. If anyone knows about fires, the Australians know about fires. So they suffer loads with what's called bushfires. So the outback, kind of like our forest, is really, really dry. And all it takes is one spark. One spark to bring utter devastation. And Australians know, when we was over there, man, they had signs like everywhere telling you fire watch and like the risk and the chances that fire was going to take place that day. And Australians know that all it takes is one accidental spark, one careless spark, one intentional spark to wreak utter devastation. That it kills people, it destroys people, it destroys people's homes, destroys people's lives by one spark. Do we truly, 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 truly understand the impact that our words have? Our careless, our intentional words have on other people. The power to bring utter destruction. See, our words hurt other people. And sometimes we use that to our advantage. I want to hurt you, so I'm going to say nastiness to you and about you. But what's amazing is not only does it affect other people, not only does it affect our communities when there's gossip going on around a place. James says, verse 6, it corrupts us. It doesn't just affect the people that you're talking about and you're talking to. It corrupts us. It has an impact upon us. Why? Verse 8. Our tongues are full of deadly poison. Full of it. Verse 6, the tongue is a world of evil, itself set on fire by hell. Ooh. Wow. Itself set on fire by hell. When James is talking about hell, he's talking about a place called Gehenna, which outside the Jerusalem walls, there was like this massive rubbish dump to kind of the southwest, I think it was, of the city. And people used to go and put all their rubbish there and it would constantly be burning up. There'd always be a burning flame. James is saying, your words are like that. Your words are like that rubbish dump that's always on fire. But what else? Actually, that place also symbolized a place of eternal punishment and torment. The place where Satan and evil itself lived. James says your words can be used by Satan himself, by the forces of evil, to bring destruction. You see that in Matthew chapter 16, you don't have to look this up, you can do, verses 22 and 23. Jesus is telling his disciples that this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to die. And Peter, one of his loyal followers, tries to encourage him. Says, Jesus, no. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be okay. This is what Jesus says. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus says to Peter, your words are like from Satan himself. James isn't messing about. He's so not messing about. He's like, man, this can bring destruction. It can bring destruction. You can be in control of your tongue or not. And there's consequences. If this is serious, actually, how sloppy are we? How sloppy am I in the words that I use day in, day out? How sloppy are you? Proverbs 18:21. You hear this verse mentioned a lot in my house to the point that my husband mocks me so much. And it says, the tongue has the power of life and of death. What do we bring with our words? What do you bring with your words? What do I bring with my words? Do we bring life or do we bring death? Do we build up or do we tear down? Do we bring hurt or do we bring healing with the words that we speak from our mouths? See, James says, a tongue that is guided by the Spirit is like a rudder that steers a boat. It's amazing. But words that aren't guided by the Spirit, words that aren't, they bring utter destruction. So before we start thinking, okay, maybe this week I need to zip my lips a little bit. Okay, let's maybe look, go back a little bit. Our words reveal actually what's in our heart. James says in verse 9, with your words you praise God, and then you curse your brother or sister, the one who is made in God's image. So it's like today, we sing our praises to God. God, you're amazing, you're so good. We go home, we sit around our kitchen table, we're eating our lunch, and we start slagging off the very people we've been worshipping God with. What does James say, verse 10? He says, brothers and sisters, this should not be. It shouldn't be, it's not right. These aren't my words, this is the word of God. It shouldn't be that way. And then James goes on and he traces our words back to the source. That inconsistency, that destructive use of the tongue, he goes on in verse 12. Can a fig tree bear olives? Can it? I haven't seen it. You never know what science will do in the next few years. Can a grapevine bear figs? No, it can't. It can't. And these words scream out the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew. I'm going to actually read this. This is Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 35. So James is saying, can salt water and fresh water, can they come from the same source? Can they? No, they can't. They can't. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings the evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Jesus says that our words are an index to our heart. Our words reveal what's going on inside. See, if we're speaking bitter words, I would say that's because we've got a bitter heart. If we're speaking critical words, it's because we've got a critical heart. If we're speaking encouraging words, it's because we've got a heart of encouragement. If we're speaking thankful words, it's because we've got a thankful heart. Our lips betray our hearts. They say what's going on inside. If you want to know the state of your heart, listen to what comes out of your mouth. Okay, so literally like a week ago, 10 days ago, something like that, I was thinking about a person who just really drives me up the wall, not going to lie. I'm from the East End, and we have like this little bit of a mantra that you say what you think. You say what you think. It doesn't matter about the other person. You just say what you've got to say, and that's all right. And this person, man, if anyone was critical about them, I didn't jump to their defence. You know, I got stuck in as well. I was like, yeah, they are like that. Yeah, they are like that. I had nothing nice to say about this person. Nothing nice really to say to the person. Nothing at all. And then Ryan and I were in Nico's, which is the greatest... Well, some people would debate this. One of the greatest cafes in East London because their chops are amazing. And I was sitting there and chatting to Ryan, not really talking about this. And it's just amazing how God speaks, because I was sat there and I was eating my chops. And I'm never going to go back and eat chops again. And God said, Jen, you've got unforgiveness in your heart. And actually the words that have been coming out your mouth about this person are because you've got unforgiveness in your heart. And actually, you can try and change your words about that person as much as you like, but in your heart there's unforgiveness. You need to go and sort it out. Man, I love it when God speaks, but man, oh man. Man, oh man. So I went up to that person, I was like, you don't even know this, but what you done ages ago really, really bugged me. And it's been bugging me since, and I haven't forgiven you. And I've held that on in my heart, and the consequences is I've had nothing nice to say about you. And you know, since then, it's amazing, actually amazing, dealing with the unforgiveness in my heart. You know, I can actually say positive things about that person, you know. Oh, hello. Say positive things to that person, about that person. What do our words say about the state of our heart? Actually, what do they say? Is there jealousy? Is there hatred? Is there unforgiveness? Is there love? Is there empathy? Thanks, Caspar. I think he was actually trying to nick my watch. See, our words are the fruit of the heart's tree. And Jesus says, again in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, by your fruit you're going to be recognized. Do you know what? When we're out and about, when we're in school, when we're at work, when we're down a pub with our friends, do you know what? People listen to what we say. They listen. They listen. You've been around someone, no doubt, who you're like, that person is just poison. They are poison. On what basis do you make that opinion? Usually what comes out of their mouth. There's people as well that you'd be like, I love to be around them because they are so encouraging. They always encourage me. How do they do that? Normally with the words that come out of their mouths. See, the words affect our actions. And they can destroy. They can reveal what's in our heart. So what? So what happens now? This is what I like about James. Let's flip back to it. So in my Bible, he's got a section just above chapter 3. It says, taming the tongue. Now, I would expect that you rock up to that passage and James is going to give you like 4 points. This is what you do to tame your tongue. You go through, he doesn't. He almost like makes a mockery of it. In verse 7, he says, you guys, you can tame animals. You see that at a circus and at a zoo. Birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea, you can tame them all. You can do that, but you can't tame your tongues. So are we at the mercy? Are we at the mercy of our words? See, I could stand here and I could say, the Bible says don't lie. The Bible says don't gossip. The Bible says don't slander. I could say all of those things, but actually is that going to make a difference to our lives? I could say our words should be full of goodness and love and kindness. It's not a case of trying harder. It is not a case of trying harder. See, if we try harder to modify our words, it's kind of like this. Now, I think some of you ladies may relate to this. I might be skating on thin ice here, but I'm going to go with it. Maybe some of you guys actually as well. It's like having a head of grey hair, okay? And you want to get rid of that grey hair, so what do? You dye it. What happens? Give it a few weeks. The roots start showing through. They're not natural highlights. The roots start showing through. And actually, what we need to do is we need to tackle the root. Changing our words and saying, I'm going to have a swear box this week, and every time I swear, I'm going to put in some money. That's not going to change things. We can't just try harder. Trying harder isn't really a biblical mandate. Don't try harder. It'd be like dyeing your hair. So what do? We search our heart, and we watch our words. That is what we do. So I was thinking, okay, practically, what does this look like in reality? So this makes me, I do make myself laugh. I do apologize if no one else finds this funny. But so I was sitting there and I was like, oh, these are the 4 things that I think are helpful for me and hopefully helpful for us. And then I got the first letter of every word and this is what it made up, RSPB. And I thought, actually, this might help us to remember actually how do we search our hearts and how do we watch our words, RSPB? It's got absolutely no relevance. So I'm not going to talk about birds at all, but there we go, in for a penny, in for a pound. Okay, what do? We recognise. We recognise that we're fallen. See, Isaiah, a great messenger of God, says this. Isaiah 6, verse 5, he says, I am a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. He don't try to deceive himself. He goes, man, I know that I'm rubbish. I recognize it in my life. Do we recognize that we are people of unclean lips? That's your R. S. Claire kind of just mentioned it just now. Search your heart. The Psalms are littered with David going, search my heart, God. Search my heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. If you find any offensive way in me, yank it out. Yank it out. Don't leave it in there. Yank it out. Deal with it. Psalm 139, verse 23. We need to search our hearts. What else? P. Pray. I know it's kind of like a really Christian thing to say, but if it's not about us trying harder, what is it about? It's about the Spirit changing and transforming our lives. We pray, we say, God, I need you. I need your help. I need you to transform my life. I need you to make me different. I need you to make me holy. I need you to make me set apart because I can't do it on my own. Be different. That's it. Be different. James says right at the start, I think it's chapter 1, verse 22, he says, don't merely listen to the words. Because if you just listen to the words and you don't put them into action, you're deceiving yourself. What does James say? Listen and do what it says. Listen and do what it says. That was our memory verse in Tofts a while back. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. 1 Peter verse, chapter 3, verse 9. Don't repay insult with insult. Repay insult with a blessing. Be different. That's different to your colleagues. That's different to your friends at school. That's different to your family who don't know Jesus. Be different. Be different. Don't get involved with gossip that even happens within the church. Don't get involved. Be different. Stand out. Be different. Be set apart. Be different. Now, maybe you're thinking, Jen, it's all right for you. You work in a church. You don't know what my office is like. My office is poison. It's hard to be different in the way that I speak. You don't know how bitchy my friends are at school. You don't know what it's like. You don't know that actually, to maintain my coolness, I need to cuss someone's mum as much as I can. I do love a mother cuss, but... Jen, you don't know. That person hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them back with my words as much as I can. Jen, you don't know what it's like. Do you know what? Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. I don't know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be me. But this is what I do know. Let's go on to this one. This is what I do know. Jesus was crucified. Like, this is the central thing of our faith. Jesus was crucified. He was lied about. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was nailed to a cross. If anyone deserved to let utter insults flow out of their mouths, it was Jesus. The people nailing him to the tree, they deserved a little bit more than a mother cuss. They deserved his sheer wrath and his sheer anger. What does Jesus say? What does he say? He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. In the face of great trial, probably beyond a trial that any of us will ever face in our Christian lives in East London, Jesus says, forgive them. The words that overflowed were words of love. Jesus' heart was a heart of love, overflowing in the face of absolute carnage. And you're like, yeah, yeah, Jen. But that was Jesus. That was Jesus. Really? Do I really, really, really have to be like that? Do we as a church have to be like that? We've been called to holiness. Tim last week, 1 Peter 1 verse 15, he says, just as the one, Jesus, called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So that's it. That's where the bar's at. Be holy because I'm holy. Be different because I'm different. How different? That different. That different. That when someone's insulting you at work, someone's bitching behind your back, be different in the way you respond in your words. Be different. Let me, we've got a bit of time. Let me share this. So like I said at the start, this week, man, oh my days, there's not enough minutes in the hours to tell you about my week. Man, oh man. And you know what? The words that have come out of my mouth this week, they've not been pleasing to God. They've been full of deadly poison. Full of it. People have been saying to me, Jen, listen to what's coming out of your mouth. And do you know what? I wanted to inflict harm on other people. I wanted to inflict harm because the situation that I got placed in wasn't my fault. Wasn't my fault at all. That's what I wanted to do. And why? Because my heart was angry. My heart was upset. So guess what? My heart's angry. My words are angry. And this is what happened. It's amazing what prayer does, okay? So I was down here yesterday afternoon and praying a little bit about the kind of week and how kind of rubbish it's been, and actually what's my response to that. I was justified in being angry, I thought. I was justified in having angry words. Do you know them ones when you're in a situation and you think, I'm right to speak like this. And this is what happened, okay? Man, I was reminded about the cross in a way that I would say I've never been reminded about in the whole time that I've been a Christian. And I was sat over there and I was looking around all the posters that are on the wall, and there's one that says love. There's one that says sin with massive lines crossed through it. There's one that says forgiveness. There's another one that says love. And there's another one that says peace. And it's like Jesus was saying, Jen, I love you. I love you. And you do so much rubbish, so much. And yet I made peace with you when I didn't deserve to suffer. I'd done that. I'd done that for you because I love you. And guess what? There's now forgiveness. And I tell you what, man, oh man, that absolutely blew me away. And I sat there and I thought, who am I? Who am I to think that I'm justified to say what I want with my mouth and to let anger and hatred and bitterness sink in my heart? Because you know what? Jesus, he didn't deserve to die. It wasn't his sin that he was dying for. He was dying for mine. He was dying for yours. He blew our sin away. Blew it away. Why? Because he loves us and he wanted peace between us and him. Man. You know, there's times when you say, yeah, I'm really sorry, God, for what I did. And then there's times where you're just like, man, I am so, so sorry. So sorry. So sorry for this week. So sorry. Going back to the person who had caused all that and saying, I am sorry, I forgive you, because what right have I got? What right have I got? While we were sinners, Christ died. So what do? We can't earn that love. We can't earn that forgiveness. We can't. But actually, how we speak and the state of our hearts are a response to that love that has been shown to us. Words have power to control our actions and to destroy. Whether you like it or not, they reveal what is in our hearts. We need to search our hearts and we need to watch our words. And RSPB, hopefully that will remind you. Let me finish with the immortal words of Hawk Nelson. Man, go and look him up. It's amazing. This is what he says. He says, let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Let's pray.